Welcome to the Wally Show, the podcast you can't do without. A sea shanty of the Wally Show intro.
I love it.
I'm really into the sea shanties. No, why do you hate everything?
You hate like the sea shanty itself or what he just
no,
did?
No, I'm all about sea shanties. Yeah. It's not that I hate you. It's that I know that if I support anything that you do, you will take it one step further and believe everyone loves it.
I know, but they do. Like we did sea shanties on the show today.
This proves my point.
No, you said the response was very positive from the sea shanties on the show today.
I was just trying to be nice.
No, you were not. It was truth. It was because you've never tried to be nice. So I know that's a lie, too. Betty Rock is a liar. She's a liar. Pants on fire. Sea shanties. I think we're going to do a lot more of this on the show. I don't know.
No.
Until I get bored with it. I do that a lot. Like, I'll get onto something, and I take it to its extreme, absurd length, and then one day the light switch flips, and I'm like, I'm done with that. Like it just ran its course.
Well, that's how the internet's going to treat this, is that it's on its rise, it's at its peak, and then at one point another trend's going to come up, and this is boop,
oh,
gone.
Yeah. Yeah, this will be gone. Like, the Harlem Shake didn't last as long as I thought it should have lasted.
I loved that.
I did too. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Shake.
And I thought that was going to go a lot longer. And I don't know what replaced it, but it was like all of a sudden, it's like, poof, that's gone. Why is that not cool anymore? I just started doing them, you know, and you're like a week late. Here's some of the stuff we didn't get to. Hospitalizations due to COVID are down a little bit. That's finally some good news. There are 93,000 people currently hospitalized with coronavirus across the country.
93,000.
That's a lot. Well, it was as high as 130,000. And so that's why, like, all the systems were taxed and overworked. And so, like, I'm sure healthcare professionals are happy to see it going down, but it's still high. I mean, it's still not, like, completely done yet. So they're working through that. But finally, some good news. Some other news that might be applicable to you in your traveling in the future. There's a new government travel rule going into effect today that says you have to wear a mask on a plane. We know that. But the CDC now is requiring masks covering your nose and mouth of people that are 2 years or older on flights, trains, subways, buses, taxis, ride shares, anywhere there's public transportation, in essence. 2 years or older have to wear those. And then if you have an exemption, you can, but I don't even know how you tell if someone has an exemption. There's not like an official thing that's like, I have asthma, I don't have to wear a mask. So you don't have no idea. So that's the ambiguity causes all the fights.
Right. And I have a close friend of mine. She's got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Yeah. Good luck.
And getting them to wear a mask just to go to a doctor visit.
Yeah.
Is so hard. And she said too, you know, the nurses will walk by and they'll be like, oh, you need to put your mask back up. Well, you know, 4-year-old does not understand, doesn't want to do it.
They operate in their own world.
Oh, yeah. That lady that got kicked off that flight for a 2-year-old not wearing its mask. And she was like, I'm trying, you know, and I felt bad for her in the midst of that. Because, sometimes kids, when they decide I'm not doing something, they throw a fit. You can be the best parent in the world 364 other days of that year. Mm-hmm. But that one day, it's just, they're inconsolable.
The only solution I can think of is if you let them dress as their favorite character.
Oh, and
like you could be Iron Man
and
you could put the mask on and say you can just wear it the whole time.
That's better than my idea. I was going to go with Staples.
Okay. Yeah. Mine was a better idea.
Remember that line in Scrooge where he's got the Christmas movie Scrooge with Bill Murray where they're trying to get antlers on a mouse and he's like, we can't get the antlers on the mouse. And he's like, have you tried Staples? people with a disability that makes it unsafe to wear a mask, again, they're exempt. But how do you figure that out? I have no idea. But refusal to do so and follow this is going to be a violation of federal law.
Ooh.
So now you're looking at time in the pen or bigger fines and stuff. So this is all going to get ratcheted.
Get arrested
up a little bit.
As a 2-year-old.
Oh yeah. He's going, what are you in for, kid?
Like toddler Judy.
Yeah. Why am I in Gen Pop with everybody else? This is insanity. All right. What do you got for Lisa these, Lady Rock?
Well, when you hear Jon Bon Jovi's 1986 classic rock hit, Living on a Prayer, you hear a hit.
A classic, one of the best 80s rock songs ever. Excuse me. I even love the modulation at the end that they did. Like, people didn't see that coming. Yeah, they did the key change. You're like, what are they doing? They're like virtuosos.
Well, you would be alone in your thought process thinking, well, you and all the other 80s kids would say this is a rock hit.
Absolutely.
But Bon Jovi, the guy that sang the song, the guy that was the front man, He thought that the band, when they wrote it, in a recent interview, he admits that he wasn't too impressed after they recorded it. Yeah. He claimed that maybe it could be used for a movie soundtrack, but he was more like, meh, it's okay. But fast forward later to the song earning them their second consecutive number one single and selling 3 million copies, as well as making them millions of dollars.
Yep.
Jovi admits his mistake.
Absolutely.
And this is surprising, Wally, because you were talking about the modulation, the key change. He claims that he regrets that key change. He was the one that said, let's do it.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, you can imagine as you every get night, older, you got to go one step up.
And everybody's waiting for it, too. And the older you get, when you're still performing these things at 50-something, however old John is, I think he's older than me. He has to be. He has to be. We were contemporaries. We were both in the rock game at the same time, but he was older than me. I think he's probably 56.
Let's see.
I'm going to go 56, famous ages.
He is 58.
See, I told you.
So only 6 years older than you?
So he is still using,
and taller than you.
Well, I knew that.
Oh, how tall is he?
I don't
5'9".
I don't mind being shorter than John Bon Jovi. Absolutely.
Oh, you don't.
He's the best. I will acquiesce to him any day.
Okay.
But I love the fact that, like, when you are older and you're still performing these songs, everyone's in the crowd just waiting for that moment. They're like, okay,
living on
a prayer. Take my hand, we'll make it, I swear. Oh, living on a prayer. Here comes the modulation. Whoa! Yeah, and they're all waiting to see if he can do it. The sad part is now it's all tracked, so you don't have to be able to hit it, which is kind of a bummer. That is the sad thing. Music has changed. Like, oh, it got so technical, and now every band has so many backing tracks. When a band loses a computer, they're like, what do we do now?
It's more important than losing the...
You lose the bass player, like, any day, and you can have the computer. You're still fine. But that's what I hate about, like, so much modern music. They don't have to be able to do it now.
Get off my lawn!
Well, I know it sounds that way, but you love old school music.
Too loud.
You guys, you love old school music, Rod.
Yes, I do.
And there was something great about it. Like, was it perfect?
It showed talent.
Exactly.
I would say that. And then you get One Direction up there singing Watermelon Sugar.
Yeah. And they're just singing, they're just dancing. They're just lip syncing, and it's garbage, you know?
I agree.
But the bands that they don't have any of the technical gear, and they come out and they still sound great, you're like, man, that's impressive.
Rock on.
I was surprised. I saw, of all bands, I saw Petra on a cruise ship, and I thought, this is going to be a debacle.
An old ship.
Yeah, I know. They had the first singer, Greg X. Volz, with them, and I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be bad. Like, when they probably lost a step. No background vocals. They crushed it.
Do you think?
Yes.
Do you think the same could be said for your band, Heaven's Fire?
No, we were horrible. Like, I know this. This is something I know.
Also, Exhibit A from today on the show when we did Kiddioki.
Yes.
Wally got it wrong.
I did.
Twice.
I did.
We had just practiced.
I know. I had the wrong rhythm and it threw me off. I lock up.
And that's the thing, too. You cannot stay on tempo.
Yeah,
like,
I play fast.
You're going. Dum, 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 dum.
That's why I can be a drummer. That and I have no rhythm. I always speed everything up.
Yes, you do.
Especially live. I get nervous, I think.
Drummers look so cool.
I know.
The drummer in our worship band at church, we met him, like, one of the first guys we ever met at the church, but he has, like, the longer hair that kind of swooshes to the side. Yeah. He's skinny. He always wears cool clothes. And I was telling my friend recently, I'm like, I just want to look like a drummer.
Yeah.
I know God didn't design me to look like a drummer. He was like, designed me to look like a
drum.
Like a drum.
I'm sorry. Hurt people.
Low. Gavin, you are beautiful.
But we also, to back that up, we did shoot a video.
I'm sorry,
what, like 3 weeks ago where
I'm,
we were drumming on our stomachs.
I need to write this down as a promo real quick if you don't mind.
This is
Aftercast.
But it is true. I feel like if you play drums, you have to kind of have a certain look, whether it's.
Well, you have a drummer chick friend.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
she's cool.
She dresses the part. Yeah. But whether you're playing drums for, like, a jazz band, you kind of have to look the part,
you know,
or rock. Or...
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, back in high school, though, the drummer was, like, the nerdy kid until they, like, in the jazz trio,
or
until
the
they got to the
band.
Drum line. Yeah. Then the snare guys were cool.
Yeah.
Right.
But then you take guys, like, you look at, like, Tommy Lee from Motley Crue. Not this great drummer, but a real flash drummer, you know, like, all the drum tricks and stuff, his drum set flipping. Same with, the guy from Newsboys, Duncan. Like his drum set spins. He's a showman, you know, and he's fun to watch.
What about that
play.
One guy? Do you remember that he was like they were singing some song and he was flipping the sticks in the air and all that stuff?
Yeah.
And everybody's crazy about a sharp dress.
Yeah. ZZ Top. Like, so you don't have to be a great drummer if you're a good showman, you know, and that goes to the coolness of the drummer. It definitely goes. Typically, the hierarchy in a band is always singer. Singer's always the coolest. Then you got guitar player, always the second coolest, wants to be the singer but can't. Mm-hmm. Then you've got the drummer, who people love. Then if you've got a keyboardist, then the keyboardist, and then the bass player. Bass player's always last, no matter. There's been very few exceptions.
Well, because
of
they're
cool
so
bass
awkward
players.
On the stage, like. They're just, they bob their heads funny. Weren't you the bass player?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the bass is heavier. My bass was giant on me because I'm so small.
You did a stand-up bass.
Yeah, I wish. I remember one time I did the thing. I had my bass like low slung, like a rock bass, and I forgot how short I am. So I go to do the thing like from the 80s where you take your guitar, it's strapped on, and you sling it around your neck.
Uh-oh.
So
did it carry you?
Well, no. Did it knock me over? So I do that. I sling it around my neck, and the whole thing comes around like this because I'm short, and the headstock just goes bang, and I broke my bass.
Oh,
I broke it on the ground because I was too short to like have it swing around me. Yeah,
that is truly one of the cooler things to experience in like a live concert, seeing like, you know, two guys just slinging it around. That is legit.
Like what I lacked in musical prowess, I made up for in showmanship.
Okay.
I remember one time
bass smashing.
I don't believe that.
We were at this small club in Coral Springs called Club 777. It was a Christian club, and we were opening. I know, it's so great.
I love that.
Funny story about that. Oh. We were opening this week for a band called White Cross, which was like a rat type band.
Nice.
But 2 weeks later, the band that was headlining there was DC Talk, like a really young DC Talk back when they were doing the early
days. And they're like,
days.
Let's get this Heaven's Fire out of the way.
I know. Well, I almost took myself out of the way. So I run across the stage.
Why?
Because this is what you do in rock and roll. So I run across the stage and I jump like to go out off the stage into the audience.
Oh, no.
What I failed to realize is that they had hung speakers from the ceiling. So, and it's a small club. So as I go to run to jump off the stage, my head clips the speaker, knocks me, head over heels. My heels go back. I fold on the stage like in half. Like it is just devastating. I'm out of breath. And then you try to play it off like, yeah, it's rock and roll. And you're just all woozy. I got worked. My head was all swollen. It was great. But I kept playing. That's the thing. You got to keep playing. Yeah, you got to keep playing.
You are so...
Rock and roll? I'll finish that sentence for you.
No, you think you always have something to prove. I don't get it.
Yeah. Well... Yeah, and then you prove nothing. So
you're right.
We're very
because
opposite.
I got it natural.
That's it. What do you got for birthday? Speaking of got it,
Jace wants to wish his wife Kiana a happy birthday, saying she's pregnant with our first child, a baby boy, due in March.
Oh, congratulations
and happy birthday,
Kiana. What?
Kiana.
That's a cool name.
Yeah, I like that.
Even pronunciation with it. So that was
helpful. Thank you. That is so hard.
Mm-hmm. The question is, what do you think a baby being born with a full head of hair or lack thereof says about his or her future?
Oh, that's actually a really good question.
A head full of hair?
I'm trying
or
to
a lack thereof.
Oh.
I was a toe-headed kid. Like, I was bright blonde hair when I was...
They call those toe-headed?
Yeah, I don't know why. I hope it's nothing bad.
Your head looks like a toe.
Yeah, I don't know. That's how I've always heard it referred to. Somebody look it up real quick. Look up toe-headed
kid.
That's
going to be something.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's not something on like Urban Dictionary.
Make sure it's not like a bad slang that I'm not aware of, that my mom like would not be aware of.
Oh, it's T-O-W, toe-headed.
Oh.
Someone who has very light blonde hair.
Oh. I would not have spelled it that way either.
Most common to describe blonde children as towheads.
Yeah.
A true towhead has hair so light that it's nearly white, which is why most kids, towheads, are kids.
I think that if you are born with a full set of hair as a kid, you are destined for greatness. Why? Because you're ahead of the game. You're already like looking at the other kids being like, you're bald. Like even as an infant, you know. Like if you got a full head of hair, you know.
You probably have easier access to like baby modeling gigs.
Yes.
Stuff like that. Because they're like, you don't want the bald baby for
and
Gerber.
Like, if you're the baby that's in the baby room where they take all the babies after they're born.
The nursery.
And you know all the other girls, because girls are fickle, are like, look at that baby. That baby's got a full head of hair.
Yeah, because newborn babies are already thinking
That's what I'm telling you. It gives them a leg up. It gives them a leg up. The bald-headed baby, I am so sorry for you. I was a bald-headed baby. So.
I think it's irony. I think it's going to do the opposite. So if you're born with a full head of hair, you're going to be the first to go bald.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're a bald baby, you're going to have the fullest voluptuous locks of hair.
Were you a bald baby? Because you have really good hair.
Trying to remember.
Yeah, I'll get your mom to send me some pictures.
No, please don't contact my mom.
I'm a texter.
No, you don't know her number.
I do. I have her number.
You don't.
I do. Your mom and
don't.
I text about you every once in a while.
No,
we do. I have her email too.
No,
I do. I think you're talking about like the opposite. That happens with kids and teeth. Like when you have a kid that has perfect teeth when they're really little.
Oh, that's bad.
You're so excited. You're like, oh, thank goodness they didn't get my teeth. They're going to be great. And then what happens is their teeth get jacked up because there's not enough room or space for the new teeth coming in. My daughter had perfect teeth and then her teeth got so worked and we had to do like braces and Invisalign, all that. But like if your kid has like what would look like a jacked up grill and a lot of spaces going in, you're like, be thankful because then their teeth have a place to go in and
really?
Probably can be better.
Yes.
Save you money in orthodonture. Yes. So there you go. Well, that was a great question.
Yes.
And I think that is going to do it for our aftercast. And as always, thank you so kindly for being a potty.
Take us out with Living on a Prayer.
Whoa! Oh, from John. Oh, okay. I thought you were Living on a Prayer. Take my hand. No. We'll make it, I swear. Whoa!
It's not jazzy and boppy.
You realize that they didn't do it enough.
Then why is it in a high key?
Whoa.
I don't. He always makes it high and boppy.
You know what? Sways his hips a little bit.
I think that's going to do it. I almost went for the original, but
I'll settle. Sure.